everybody. This is Martin Zender unleashing more megatons of truth than a giraffe has eyelashes. Than a giraffe has eyelashes? Who wrote that? You wrote that, Bill? All right, what do you mean? Forget, no, I don't have time to hear about it. Okay, I'm unleashing more megatons of truth than a giraffe has eyelashes. Fine, I'm fine with that. That's good. Let's just leave it at that. Let's go to the new earth. That's where I'm going today, and I'm taking you with me. If your destination is not the new earth, then jump out the window. Here we go. Revelation chapter 21. Let's contrast this new earth with what went before it, the thousand-year kingdom. And if you really want to contrast, let's contrast it with our world now. This shouldn't be too difficult. And I perceived a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth pass away, and the sea is no more. And I perceived the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I hear a loud voice out of the throne saying, Lo, the tabernacle of God is with mankind, and he will be tabernacling with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. Whoa, is that ever different? Jesus doesn't walk and talk with us today. In this day, God himself is going to be with them. That is distinguished even from the thousand years when Jesus is on earth and still access to him is limited. The nations must go through Israel. Here, that's not the case. God himself is with them. The priesthood is eliminated. Going to see that in a second. And death will be no more. That's something new. Let's contrast it with a thousand years. We still have death operating. There's capital punishment going on in Gehenna. But still, it's restricted. People are living a long time in the kingdom, and only the criminals are being put to death. Death is definitely limited in a thousand years, but it's still going on. Contrast that today. I haven't been invited to a wedding, it seems like, in years. But every month, I'm going to a funeral. I hate it. What's happening? I'm still a young fella, and I'm going to funerals. I can't stand it. So we're making progress here, but the second death is still in operation. Look at verse 8. Yet the timid unbelievers, the abominable murderers, paramours, and enchanters, idolaters, and all the false, their part is in the lake burning with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So death has been at least segregated on this new earth, unlike the thousand years, and much unlike today. However, it's still operating. So we still have an imperfect state, but it's very much improved. Now, concerning God tabernacling with mankind, here's the reason for that. Go to verse 22. John says, And a temple I did not perceive in it, for the Lord God Almighty is its temple, and the lampkin. And the city has no need of the sun nor of the moon that they should be appearing in it, for the glory of God illuminates it. Hey, there's still days, sun, moon in the thousand-year kingdom. So here, I think this is just restricted to the city. There's no need for it. The light of God illuminates it. That happened one other place in the tabernacle. And when Israel had the temple, the tabernacle, God's light shone in the Holy of Holies. There was no natural light there because of the walls and the curtains, and yet the priests could see. Did he have a flashlight? No, he didn't. Did he have a candle? No. The glory of God made that place shine. But it only happened in a little square cubicle on a little spot on the earth in Jerusalem. Now this gigantic city, New Jerusalem, is going to be descending, and the whole city is going to be illuminated with the glory of God. Is that ever an improvement? Contrast it with today, the contrasts just get more pronounced. If you live in Los Angeles, you don't even see the sun, let alone the glory of God. God is very selective with his glory. A lot of times we don't see it. We're not allowed to see the fullness of his effulgence because, as I said to you earlier, and you're never going to forget it, this is the day of our humiliation. Now, I'm going to draw a parallel to salvation, to the salvation of the human race. I'm going to go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. No, first I'm going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy 2, 5. For there is one God and one mediator of God and mankind, a man, Christ Jesus, who is giving himself a correspondent ransom for all, the testimony in its own eras. I'm reading from the Bible. The testimony of the mediation of Christ on behalf of humanity is appointed for its own eras. It doesn't happen all at once. It progresses just as God's glory progresses from this eon to the next eon, when at least there's going to be a temple and the earth is going to sprout and there's going to be no more pain and childbearing, but there's still people dying in the pit of Gehenna. No, that's going to progress to the new earth where there is no more death, where you don't need the sun, and where God himself dwells with mankind. And that's going to be great, but look at this. It's the same thing here. God doesn't do everything at once. Jesus was the first one that rose from the dead. Then he gives his truth to us, a select group of people. Are we the only ones who's going to get it? Is it like the preacher say that if you don't believe today, before you die, it's all over? No, because the testimony of this thing is going to be in its own eras. Now I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians 15 and show you the eras. Let's go to verse 21. For since, in fact, through a man came death, that's Adam, through a man also comes the resurrection of the dead, that's Christ. For even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Yet each in his own class. You see, it doesn't happen to everybody at once. The first fruit, Christ, he was the first one. He was vivified during man's day, during this present wicked eon, as Paul calls it. But there's another class, thereupon those who are Christ in his presence. When Christ returns for the body of Christ and snatches them away, and when he returns to raise the saints from Israel, that's when the second group of people are going to be saved and delivered from death. Commonly referred to as believers. Is this the last group that's going to be saved? No, because you're forgetting in our parallel, in our parable, that there is going to be a new earth. Hardly anybody knows that. There's a time period beyond 1,000 years, a new earth. Likewise, there is a group of people saved beyond the coming of Christ, beyond those who are called believers in this era. And those are those people who are still in the second death. They're going to come out of that. Why? Let's read on in 1 Corinthians 15. Yet each in his own class, the first fruit Christ, thereupon those who are Christ in his presence, thereafter the consummation, a grand event that's coming after the new earth even, whenever he may be giving up the kingdom to his God and Father, whenever he should be nullifying all sovereignty and all authority and power, for he must be reigning till he should be placing all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy is being abolished, death. And the only death operating at this late time is the second death. And that has to happen in order to fulfill verse 28, that God may be all in all. You can't leave this thing in the middle of the movie. God is going to unfold his glories, not only on the earth, but also with mankind. Christ was the first, then those who are Christ in his presence, those who are given grace to believe now in this era. Then, at the consummation, all for whom Christ died will come forth. And guess what? Christ died for everybody. People tell me this is the only age of salvation. That's not true. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says, now is a most acceptable era. Now is a day of salvation. It doesn't say now is the day of salvation. That's what people have told you. But the definite article the is not in the context. I'm looking at a literal translation here. It's a day of salvation. Now is a day of salvation. It's a great time for God to save people, and he's doing it, but it's not the day of salvation. We know that because of Christ's sacrifice, God is going to be all in all, and it happens beyond 1,000 years, beyond the new heavens and the new earth. It happens at the consummation when he abolishes death. Ah, woo-hoo! There's much more to God than you have ever been told. Rejoice in that God with me. I'm Martin Zender. Have a great day.